This is Central Time. Now, how much do we know about the lives of the estimated 1 million plus adults in the United States who identify as transgender? A recent poll by the Washington Post and Kaiser Family Foundation aimed to add some info to the limited amount of research in that area. One of the big findings was that most of the adults surveyed said they're more satisfied with their lives after they transitioned. We're going to get into the results of that poll and the context of a wave of Republican-led bills targeting trans people in a lot of states. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a trans person yourself, feel comfortable sharing some of your story, love to hear from you. How do you feel in this climate of increased anti-trans legislation in a lot of states? And anybody out there, what questions do you have about the findings, the results of this poll we're going to talk about? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Josie Caballero is director of the U.S. Trans Survey and Special Projects at the National Center for Transgender Equality and NCTE Action Fund. Josie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here in this very important topic.
And Emily Guskin is the polling analyst at the Washington Post, where she specializes in public opinion about politics, elections, and public policy. Emily, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story behind this survey, Emily? What were you and your colleagues and the Kaiser Family Foundation trying to find out here?
So every few years or every year, we try to work with KFF to research a small population in the U.S. that isn't studied maybe as much as other people. And this is a partnership that's been going on for, I think, 36, 39 years, quite some time. And every year we interview a different population. So we've done surveys of opioid addicts. We've done surveys of people who are gamers online. We've done all of these interesting groups. And this year we talked with KFF and we thought it would be interesting to do a deeper dive and talk to people who are trans in the U.S. and how they experience their lives, and to ask them about not just discrimination and hard things that they go through, but how they feel about their lives today and how fulfilled they are and how satisfied they are with their lives.
And Josie, this is a topic of obvious interest to you. You are trying to find the same things in your own polls. Can you talk about this survey and what is out there when it comes to this kind of firsthand research into transgender people talking about themselves?
Absolutely. The poll that was done is very critical because it really does add to the preponderance of evidence that is showing that people who transition actually experience a better quality of life overall. Other surveys that have shown this before, with the U.S. Transgender Survey in 2015, showed that if you are accepted in your community by family, friends, that your outcomes with mental health greatly improve. In fact, we have seen with other surveys such as the Trevor Project that when you actually affirm and give people the ability to be accepted by who they are, that their level of suicidality dropped to no higher than somebody who is not trans.
Let's dig more into that, Emily, that the findings of people's life satisfaction after transition. Here's a quote from one of your respondents in Denver named Josie Nixon. I'm going to quote here from your story. "The worst day I've ever had as a trans person is still better than the best days I had pre-transition." Nixon goes on to talk about living authentically. Can you talk about some of the numbers you heard on this, but also some of the sentiments you heard on this big part of the survey?
That's right. We found that 78% of trans people said that living as a different gender than they were born with, assigned at birth, has made them more satisfied with their lives, including more than 4 in 10 who say they are a lot more satisfied. So that's a huge amount of people saying that this transition that they've gone through, and whether or not that is, I think a lot of people see transition as switching to another gender. We actually found out in the survey that a lot of people are non-binary or don't choose another gender. They just don't use the one that they were assigned when they were born. And that has made this vast majority of people feeling a lot better. Also, we found that they were more satisfied when they physically presented as a different gender, at least most of the time.
And Josie, let's talk more about that concept of transition. I think everybody might hear that word and think it means X, but it could also mean Y and Z. Can you talk about the different meanings of transition we discover when we ask people what it means to them?
Absolutely. Transition takes many different flavors. I like to say, you know, people who go as far as medical transition, where they actually take medication, hormones, and actually have surgical intervention for them to feel more comfortable in their selves. But also, like Emily was talking about with non-binary community members, it could be as simple as a name change, going by different pronouns, or just presenting their outward appearance differently. So anybody who is pretty much going to basically like was said, such as not being the gender that was assigned to you at birth, however that shows up is part of that transition.
That's exactly right. We found that most people have socially transitioned. Most trans people have socially transitioned, which is they changed their clothing or their names or pronouns, but far fewer have medically transitioned. Less than a third have used hormone treatments or puberty blockers, and about one in six have undergone gender affirming surgery or any other surgical treatment to change their physical appearance. So most of trans people who have transitioned are not doing it in surgical or medical ways.
We're talking to Emily Guskin with the Washington Post and Josie Caballero with the National Center for Transgender Equality, looking at polling of transgender Americans about many aspects of their lived experiences. As Emily said earlier, not just discrimination, including that, but other aspects of life as well. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guests about their surveys? What from this conversation is striking you so far? If you identify as transgender yourself, love to hear your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about what transgender American adults said when polled by the Washington Post and Kaiser Family Foundation about various aspects of their lives. Our guests today with us, polling analyst Emily Guskin from the Washington Post and Josie Caballero, director of the U.S. Trans Survey and Special Projects at the National Center for Transgender Equality. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Elise is with us in Ashland. Elise, hi.
Hi, great to be here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up?
Oh, God, there's just so much. I mean, I guess what I would say is that, you know, transitioning has been so important. I came out, I started living full time as myself. It'll be 9 years ago this July. And, you know, one of the most important things for me was moving to a much more welcoming, trans-friendly state. Wisconsin. I grew up in Missouri, and my partner still lives there. We're hoping he can move up here this fall, but in the meantime, there's a lot of really scary things happening. You know, Missouri is preparing to pass legislation that would define anything I do within view of more than one person as a strip show. You know, if somebody was watching me talk to you lovely people, that would legally be a strip show, and NPR would be, you know, penalized accordingly. But more realistically, a restaurant that I go to, if people see me there, they'll be closed down, you know. And my partner has a day job, but he also makes a lot of his income from performances. And anything he does in terms of, you know, public readings or so on, that would be completely shut down. And to cap it all, Missouri's attorney general just unilaterally banned all forms of transition-related health care for everyone.
Elise, thank you for sharing your experience. Josie, can you talk about that? We have these surveys. We also have this reality of a lot of legislation, like the ones in Missouri that Elise was talking about, specifically targeting transgender people, their open expression of identity, and some of the medical care involved.
Absolutely. It cannot be understated that there is nearly 500 anti-trans pieces of legislation across this country. And it really, we need to center the crisis, right? And when we look at these pieces of legislation, luckily for the caller, we are winning in the courts, and that's really, really important. But at the end of the day, we need to speak loudly that we do not support this. We have to underscore that this is being done by the radical extreme folks that feel that trans people shouldn't exist, when most of the country believe that trans people are okay by a large margin. And this is a desperate call to try to target a marginalized group of people to try to push their political agenda when this is real people's lives on the line, as we just heard from the caller. So you know, and I will give it to Wisconsin. You did elect Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford to be the first openly trans woman elected in Madison, Wisconsin City Council. And so that shows evidence right there that we can win and we are a part of everyday life.
Thanks for that call. And Emily, your poll tried to get at transgender people's perception of everybody else's perception of them, if that makes sense. What did you find?
Yeah, I also wanted to touch on something else our poll founded. The caller mentioned that they moved from a different place for more acceptance. And we asked in the survey whether trans people had ever moved to a different part of town or a different city or state because they thought it would be a more accepting place for someone who is trans to live. And 27% said that they had, which is a minority, of course. The 27% is not a majority, but it's still a pretty significant amount of people who said that they moved for more acceptance. And I can imagine that with this increased level of anti-trans legislation in certain states, that number could increase in the future if we were to go back into the field and ask other people what they thought about moving for more acceptance. I'm sorry, what was your question before there?
Oh, actually, I want to bring on one more caller before we run out of time. Andrew is with us in Eau Claire. Andrew, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up, well, I mean, first let me say, I think it is just absolutely terrible what is going on in a lot of these red states. I feel ashamed as an American that the rest of the world has to watch sort of the hate and vitriol that is being directed at a minority population, for starts. But I wanted to talk. I'm the father of a trans child, and you know, I heard, you know, what you guys are talking about how, you know, it brings, you know, satisfaction to their lives and improves their, you know, quality of life. You know, two of the days that I remember my kiddo being the happiest they've ever been were the day that they had their name legally changed and the day that they started taking testosterone. And I'll never forget that. How, what a difference it made in their life, and how, you know, now going forward, like that just, that changed everything for them.
Andrew, thanks for the call. And Josie, I'll give you the last word on that. Your thought on Andrew's experience with his kid.
You know, I'm so happy that is the experience that is coming through, because that gives life to the data, right? It's the truth. It is a happy parent seeing the happiness of their child come through. And I don't know, like, that is why we do this work. This is why we do the data to acknowledge what it is. And I will give my little personal anecdote. I transitioned at 34 years old, and I never truly experienced happiness until after I transitioned. And it is such a real thought. And I'm so grateful that that parents are allowing their children to experience that joy sooner so they can discover their true identities, because it's always there. What a great note to leave on.
We'll leave it there. Josie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Emily, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I've
been talking to Emily Guskin, polling analyst at the Washington Post, and Josie Caballero, director of the U.S. Trans Survey and Special Projects at the National Center for Transgender Equality, looking at a new Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation survey asking about transgender adults' lived experience in the United States.